All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton, standing with you in the confessional corner, continuing our study of the Lord's Prayer and the Small Catechism. This week, the sixth petition and Matthew chapter 4. Because what better passage to look at about lead us not into temptation than the temptation of Jesus? All right, so let's get right into it. The sixth petition, and lead us not into temptation. What does this mean? God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. This is the biggest thing. Lead us not into temptation. Well, first of all, God tempts no one. God is not the source of temptation. Yes, God is the source of testing. As we see this in the last couple of weeks in the confessional corner, as Jesus has asked questions to test people. He has given parables to test people. So we also are tested, not tempted by God. Temptations come from the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. The simple difference between the two of them, a test you can pass or fail. A temptation, you are always going to fail. Yes, you can struggle with it, you can overcome it, but eventually there's going to be something there that causes you to slip up. You may not fall into it every single time, but the devil, the world, and your sinful nature is going to wear you down. The testing is for a time. Leading us not into temptation also looks to God saying that he has set a limit to the temptation that we may have. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, no temptation has come upon you that is not common to man. You don't get anything special because of who you are. Your temptations are the same as everyone else's temptations. They're all in accord with how the devil, the world, and our sinful nature finds our weaknesses. The weaknesses may be different one to another. Your weaknesses are not my weaknesses. Mine are not yours. But the devil, the world, and the sinful nature seek to exploit those weaknesses. Just as the devil sought to exploit any weaknesses that he might be able to find in Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. This is right after the baptism by John in the Jordan River. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, all these I will give you, if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. All right, so far, Matthew chapter 4. Now as we look at this, real quickly, we also see that every quotation that Jesus uses to refute the devil comes from the book of Deuteronomy, comes from the book we are studying on Digging Deeper, the one that I said a couple of weeks ago that, yes, it is the mundane, it is the everyday stuff that is there, but even Jesus uses it to rebuke the devil. So let's look at the temptations real quick. Jesus has been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, fasting, not having any food, water, maybe, maybe not. But Satan goes after his belly. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread, because you would be able to do that. You could have all the bread you want right here, right now. We looked at that with daily bread and the idea that Jesus did not want to be a vending machine God. He wants the people to come to him. He wants to be able to freely give, not out of compulsion by we have done our part, he has to do his part. No, this is, he is doing his part and our part. especially as he withstands the temptations. It says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, out of Deuteronomy 8. So the devil, all right, let's find another thing. Takes him to Jerusalem, puts him up on the very tip-top of the temple, says, jump down. The angels will come and catch you. I mean, even God himself in the Psalms, Psalm 91 says, he will command his angels concerning you. On their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. It's like, Jesus, I can quote scripture too. I know the Bible just as well as you do. And Jesus again, this time from Deuteronomy 6, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Just because, yes, there is the promise, does not mean that we have to try to figure out the most insane way to make the promise happen. Yes, God has commanded his angels to take care of us, but he did not say, so you can go and jump off the top of the temple. You can do all kinds of the crazy stunts that like Evel Knievel would do and all the other daredevils that, some made it, some didn't. He's saying, I'll command my angels concerning you, but this is not a license for you to just be stupid in what you do and just try to see just how close to the edge of death you can get through this. No, this is just that I have them taking care of you because of my mercy, because of my grace. So then when that doesn't work, he takes them up onto a tall mountain, shows them all the kingdoms of the world and all of their glory, and says, all these I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. And again, from Deuteronomy 6, Jesus replies, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. So we have Jesus, again, quoting from Deuteronomy, again and again and again, thwarting the devil. And so the devil left him, and the angels came and were ministering to him, strengthening him for the beginning of his ministry that starts right then as well. Because this is the immediacy of everything. He goes from being baptized by John in the Jordan to the temptation to the beginning of his ministry and the calling of his first disciples. This is how God works. Sometimes it's very quickly. Sometimes it's boom, 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 boom. Things happen. Sometimes it goes on and drags out a little bit. But what we do know is Jesus' answer to the very first temptation from Deuteronomy 8. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God has given us promises. No, all of those promises have not been fulfilled yet. We have not seen the fullness of all of the promises that he has given to us yet, but that does not mean they are not still coming. We wait for those promises. We wait for that fulfillment so that we might rejoice in him always. And he strengthens us. He continues to give us his word, that word that comes out of his mouth, so that we might be strengthened to wrestle with the theologies around us today and always. Amen.